Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and TJ Henning.
Welcome to it, the Wednesday edition, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. A lot to get to. The quarterback named Bart, escape from L.A., Uncle Jerry, and such a mentally tough former Nebraska football player Spencer Linley. We are loaded today on your Wednesday. How you doing? What's good? A lot of things to dive into. TJ Henning is shaking. He wants to talk NBA so badly right now.
We'll get to that later, but it was a big trade today, and also a big guy left New York, so that was big news too.
Yeah. You know what?
He's cashing out.
No, he was going Costanza. Think you can get rid of me? I'm going to stay here and act like I don't care and not pay attention. You can bolt my office door shut.
Yeah.
I'm going to sleep under my desk. I'm going to find a way through the ventilation system to get in.
Yeah.
And you're going to pay me to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Good for Phil Jackson.
It's a lot like that.
He got there and said, what is this?
Yeah.
I'm just going to ride it out and count my money.
Or it's even like when Kramer's like, well, I don't even work here. Like Phil probably woke up one day, what am I doing here? You can't
fire
me.
No, absolutely. Mike Babcock, 39 years and counting of Nebraska greatness. Mr. Babcock will join us of HailVarsity.com and magazine. We'll talk some college football with Babbers, and that is in 15 minutes. Mike Shewhart, Shuey, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. Shuey will be in about 25 minutes or so. In hour two, Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network, will get his thoughts on Nebraska as we're, 60-plus days away from kickoff. And then Spencer Lindsey is going to join us. Spencer, a former kicker at Nebraska, of course, roommates with Sam Foltz, dear friends. Spencer's had a lot of things in his life. He's had to, him and his family have had to deal with the loss of some loved ones. And a chance this weekend for you, if you love golf, if you want to donate, and if you want to be a part of something out in central Nebraska when it comes to golf and fundraising, that is an option for you with Spencer Lindsey and his family. And I've not been to this course, the Awari Dunes and the Target Cancer Foundation and the golf tournament that you need to know about, and we'll have Spencer tell us about. Coming up here is the Spencer Lindsey and former Husker teammates, a round of golf to support a great cause, and that is the Matt Lindsey Memorial Golf Tournament, Spencer's older brother that passed away. So we'll talk with Spencer. We'll get caught up with him. We'll tell you about the golf tournament this weekend and just see how Spencer's doing. And again, the Memorial Golf Tournament for Matt Lindsey, his older brother that passed. So listen, we'll get that ready for you in a little more than an hour. Numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can tap the line with Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap Houser. Also find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at TJ underscore Henning. The email, Chris at HailVarsity.com.
And then we have four VIP Salt Dogs tickets for tomorrow night's game.
Wonderful. That is going to be, you know what? Salt Dogs are just crushing it.
They are.
A lot of fun to watch.
All these walk-off wins.
Seven. You don't see seven in like a five-year span.
No, they had like six in a row.
They give you one per week.
Yeah, it's nuts. And so, then I don't know if you're going to brag about it, but I'll brag about it for you. Chris Schmidt, his whole life. No cavities. That's impressive. I had 6 before I was 10.
Really?
I loved candy as a kid. Now,
yeah,
now
that didn't shock me.
Now I don't touch it. Like, I just don't really like candy.
I love candy now.
But I had like 2 or 3 cavities like this time last year, and I couldn't believe it. So I've had like close to 9 and 10 my life. You haven't had a single one.
I've never had a single cavity.
Crazy.
I went to the dentist today. Again, full disclosure, I'm the old kid in the children's dentist chair.
I used to go to that dentist.
Dr. Goetz, love you. Yeah. And my mother worked there. So yeah, we went to the dentist, me and Carson, and he is turning into me when he gets woken up too early in the morning. He is a raging bull. He's angry. He's snarling. He doesn't want to talk. He slaps at his pillow. He's an angry little monkey. So we went to the dentist this morning, and he was fine, and we're getting better and better news each year. He has giant fangs. My kid does, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's a little frightening but cute when he smiles. He does not. We're getting to the point where it's going to be a no braces. You weren't going to get them anyway, but they're going to tell us we don't need them.
Nice.
Come on, that was supposed to be a little funny there.
No, I don't know. I thought I wasn't supposed to have them, and then they told me I did, so that was a heartbreaker for me.
Okay, so I'm touching on something.
You are.
I'm going to one-up you because I'm that guy today.
Okay.
The wife had to have braces 3 times.
Oh.
3.
Taking on, then off, taking on. Oh, man.
Yeah. Trace.
Jeez.
Now. Because I'm so shallow, I didn't ask her out till after she got her braces
off.
Okay,
there you go.
So, no, but no cavities. 39 years.
Man.
Boom.
Well done.
Yes. I don't know how that's
Do you
happened.
Floss? Because I don't. Maybe that's my problem.
You know?
They tell me every time I should floss, but I don't.
Enough.
Enough, okay.
Not every
Listerine,
day.
Listerine, maybe?
Yeah.
I used to do that.
See, I get more of the death stare from Dr. Goetz, and my mother somewhere is staring at me from South Lincoln every time I go in because they got to file the tobacco off of me.
Yeah, there
you go. Please don't do that, kids. I mean that. Let's talk quarterbacks. 6'4", 210, and his name is Bart Harris. Think of famous Bart, you know. Black Bart from The Christmas Story.
Bart Simpson,
Bart Starr, Bama quarterback and Super Bowl champ.
Bart Houston, is that a name?
Yeah, Bart Houston.
Why can't I remember what he did or who he is?
I'm on the same way with you. Bart Houston's he's a basketball guy, isn't he?
I'm going to have to look it up.
Google Bart Houston. Make sure you spell. Okay, Bart Houston is what we're searching, but Bart Harris is a walk-on, was at Friday Night Light camps, and did well enough to get a walk-on scholarship. A walk-on offer and a chance to earn a scholarship. Belton, Missouri is where Bart is from, and according to the Journal Star, they had a chance to catch up with Bart Harris. We will get Bart Harris on before the week is done. We're going to try to anyway. I threw really good there, and he toured the camp. The red carpet rolled out. Again, Brian Christofferson's got this. And he's a preferred walk-on for 2018. So, as a Nebraska fan, you got a quarterback now in 2018. He's not a scholarship guy. And just, he did enough to wow. He had some offers at good programs, but just lower programs. Northern Iowa, Missouri State, Southern Illinois.
And Western Illinois.
And Western Illinois, too. So Nebraska has another man in the quarterback room. And what you have here is this. Break in case of emergency. Okay. God forbid Patrick O'Brien is hurt or not ready to go if Tanner Lee goes down. Do you want to burn Jebbia in his red shirt in his year of tutoring? Could he come in and win you some games? Yes. He could. But you're going to have a guy in Harris that you can let play or redshirt to build depth at quarterback all the meanwhile while you're going after 2019. And think of your situation right now with what you had with Riker and how Riker performed against Maryland, how Riker performed against Tennessee. I mean, he let him back. How Riker maybe could have performed against Iowa had that been an option. But what you were down to was it's Tommy or it's Riker because you weren't going to burn O'Brien's red shirt and yet A.J. Bush leave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you were just out of viable options. Now you'll have an option. And I think if push comes to shove, say that decision has to be made, say O'Brien and Lee are just unavailable. Do you burn Jebby or do you throw the red shirt for me? I don't want to be that guy making the call. But yeah, but you have a guy here and down the road you can groom and develop, and maybe you just hit the jackpot with a guy that is you project to be good enough to start one day, or at least good enough to challenge guys to mind their P's and Q's in the film room and put the effort forth. Mm-hmm. So I'm all right with this. Any quarterback that Langsdorf and Riley want in their quarterback room, I'm good with.
Yeah.
Period.
And it's just another good safety valve. If I've always thought, I don't think Lee, Jebby, and O'Brien, all three are going to stay their entire career. So I think eventually maybe one of them will transfer. So it's another good safety valve to have after thinking you wouldn't get a quarterback for the 2018 class. And credit to him for wanting to pay his own way here. And that's just another testament to Mike Riley and Langsdorf getting another good guy here. And to follow up, Bart Houston, another no-name Wisconsin quarterback.
Here is the kind of connection. The OC at Belton High School, Coach Chase Haslett. That's Coach's son, NFL Coach Haslett. He's a graduate manager. So there's the connection, okay? And he's not a guy who's 4'5". This is his words. But he's not immobile in the pocket. And if you do lose, God, I hate going down this road. If you do lose a quarterback next year, okay, be it to the NFL, be it the transfer, be it to whatever, you can have a red shirt from 18, grooming. You've had Jebby here early, and then you just go after your 19 guy. You need three. You mm-hmm. need three you can go with, period. And you get a walk-on that is going to stay here. He ain't going to leave. Obviously, he's paying his own way. You need that, but you need to be able to evaluate and develop a guy that isn't going to be a train wreck for you if called into duty.
Yeah,
that's the thing. What
yeah,
do you
maybe
got
he's a step up from Andrew Bunch, then, maybe you would think.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. You just never know. But you had some insurance if you do have a quarterback departure or two next year. One, best-case scenario, someone from the NFL is calling you, Tanner Lee. Or worst-case scenario, Tanner sticking. This isn't a worst case, but I'm saying if you're whoever wins that number two job a year from now between O'Brien and Jebbia, you still have some quarterbacks to go with. Good interview. Sam McEwen. That's not a shock. He's talented, good at what he does. He got to sit down with Bob Diaco, World Herald. And a couple of thoughts on this from Coach Diaco's conversation with Sam. And listen, Diaco is no doubt really excited about the defense this year, but he is excited about this senior group. That's what he kind of focused on in this interview. And you got a small group of seniors, but a strong group. That's the quote in the story, one of two quotes that stick out to me. And you think of the cornerbacks, they're going to kind of rule the roost. So the secondary, that's your most experience. There's four seniors back there between Joseph and Jones and Kalu and Williams. And then your linebacker room I like with Weber and Newby. And he likes a lot of what Chris Jones is doing and showing the team this time of year where he's locked in, he's ready to go. But the phrase associated with maybe a warning flare now in the media has been sent out. Not even a maybe, yes, a warning flare has been sent out via the media. And this is by Coach Diaco. It's not pretend. What isn't pretend? Diaco does use the phrase, according to this interview, pretend student athletes. Players on any program that aren't locked in to their school or work. People who aren't dedicated. You're supposed to be here 8 hours a week. All 8 of those hours, you should be locked in, hair on fire, passionate, energy, intensity. If that doesn't happen, you're a pretend student athlete. Is he talking about anybody? Or is he talking about a few guys? That, what are you doing? Are you focused? Are you trying to get better? Are you getting worse? Are you staying the same? And where's your commitment level? And I think he sees a lot of let's go out the right way and work every second of every day to do so with this senior group on defense.
Mm-hmm.
But the pretend student athlete, I'm going to say it, is the, at times, can be at times, the high-profile recruit that rolls in here and thinks it's going to be just like high school. So let's call you a pretend student athlete and see what you think of that. I'm not saying a specific name, but I am saying it. And you got to ask yourself, does it apply to you? I love that message.
Yeah. And I mean, Diaco's coming off getting let go from UConn, so he knows how real this is. So he needs everybody on laser beam focus, like he mentioned earlier for Chris Jones. He needs everybody like that. So I'm fine with that. Get them all lined up, ready to go.
You know, he also went on in this interview to touch on the kind of the phase they're in right now. And that is, from a distraction standpoint, there's some things going on there. What they're doing right now is they're just trying to get really good, go from good to great, and get and understand what that means to be great. As he puts it, the why and the how. And when it came to scheme, it's like half the time could be in a 4-3, could be in a 3-4. You just never know. We want to be a defense that is not, and you will not be able to put a tendency on us. We won't be able to show our cards to you. So that's pretty cool. It's exciting. Good work by Sammy. You read that with him. A World Herald, a good interview and sit down with Coach Diaco. We're rolling through a Wednesday Mike Shewhart Wilderness Ridge segment coming up in about 15 minutes. Mike Babcock, 3 minutes away. And in next hour, Spencer Lindsay, former Husker, Uncle Jerry, Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Jerry DiNardo coming up, and Spencer Lindsay, former Husker. Great golf tournament opportunity for you this weekend out in central Nebraska. We'll have Spencer tell you about it. Welcome in, historian, author, Hall of Famer. And with Hail Varsity, Mr. Mike Babcock at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, how we doing this midweek?
Hey, I'm doing great. And you know what? Spencer Lindsay's a great guy.
Incredible.
Having made it as a Husker. So it's good stuff.
It is. And excited to spend a few minutes with him in about an hour. So, Mike, I wanted to dive in first and foremost. And I spent a little bit of time talking about Sam McEwen's interview with Diaco. And wanted to kind of get your reaction to fake student athlete, that term. Fake student athlete. That was a little flare set up there about guys looking in the mirror. Are they doing what they're supposed to be doing this summer, this offseason?
Well, you know, you were talking about that. You were talking about commitment, and you were talking about the Bart Harris, you know, at the camp and the commitment he made to walk on. And over the time that I've done this, I have a special appreciation, I think, for guys that have walked on, because you add that when you're talking about commitment, it's even a different thing for guys like walk-ons, and you know Spencer could address this as well. But you know, that's part of it for a walk-on, is that commitment, and so you expect it down the line. Now, the thing that impresses me about this, and I don't know if in your experience or anything like that, but I look at student athletes, not just football, but student athletes at the collegiate level, major college, the commitment that they have to what they do has to be at a level that I can't relate to, because I can't think of anything in my life that I committed to the degree that they have to be successful. If that makes any sense. I mean, it's a year-round thing for these student-athletes. And when you throw in going to class and you throw in all the responsibilities off the field, representing the university, it's a difficult thing. And coaches have to remind the athletes of that coaches are in the same situation. It's a 24/7 deal for coaches now, and it's 12 months a year for coaches. So the difference is, of course, that the coaches are getting compensated pretty well for what they do, and the student athlete is applying commitment in a little bit different way as a result.
Mike, speaking of walk-ons, we just got a preferred walk-on commit from Bart Harris, 2018 quarterback commit. Another good safety valve to have when it looked like you maybe weren't going to get a quarterback this class. Now, would it be surprising to you, because I mentioned this last segment, that if Tanner Lee, Patrick O'Brien, Chisenjebe all stayed their 4 years, just 2 years for Tanner, but wouldn't that be surprising in today's climate if all four of those guys stayed? Because I just don't see that happening.
You know, my sort of uninformed response to that would be, yes, it would be surprising to me if all three of those guys, we're actually talking more about O'Brien and Jimmy because Tanner Lee has 2 years, but it would surprise me, yes, it definitely would, because of the temper of the times. I mean, I've often said this, but you probably are not going to be in a situation where you have a Tommy Frazier at quarterback, and when he gets hurt, you can bring in Brooke Behringer, and he can lead the team to a Big Eight championship in 1994. You just don't see that now. And part of that, now it's a little bit different maybe, again, when we're talking about commitment, Bart Harris has committed to walking on here. That's a little bit different situation because he's already made a fairly significant commitment, in my opinion, to come here at his own expense and do that. It's a little bit different for, and I'm not referring specifically to O'Brien and Jebby. I'm talking in general terms now. But when so much is made of these student athletes, and you know, going to camp and the recruiting analysts rate them, and you know, you have all this attention. Sometimes I think that athletes that get a lot of attention and they make a commitment to a school, and then a month or so later they decommit. Part of it is that it's difficult for them when they've got so much attention on where are they going to go and what, you know, where are they going to play collegiately, when all of a sudden that attention is diminished because they've made a commitment somewhere but they haven't signed on the dotted line. They decommit because they can't deal with the lack of attention. And that, so then you add that same attitude when you get to the school and you've had that attention, and all of a sudden you're at the bottom of the list and you've got to prove yourself all over again. It's difficult for some guys to do that. And again, I'm not talking specifically about Jebby and O'Brien. I'm just talking about the temper of the times, which is what you brought up. It would surprise me if both of them are here. And that's not a criticism. That's just the way it is.
It's just how it is, and that's how fluid the quarterback spot is. It name and pick a blue blood or top 10 or top 50. You're just going to have movement at that spot. Mike Babcock with this, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Babbers, let's talk mailbag for a second. And we had a good mailbag question on HailVarsity.com when it comes to Nebraska high schools, Class A, B, and C, that's delivered the most football recruits from the Solich era to now. And this was kind of something I thought 2 seconds about, and I'm like, well, it seems to me like ever since Frank took over and then the different changes that's gone on, you've had a kid or two or brothers or something from Lincoln Southeast find their way to Lincoln on scholarship, or guys not on scholarship get a scholarship and via the walk-on program. And it's pretty cool to look at. And then the research you did, Mike, share that a little bit off the top of your head, if you could, with just some of the programs that have really provided a nice pipeline to Nebraska.
Well, I know that, what I looked at was from Frank Solich's first season, his first recruiting class. And there's probably a little bit of a carryover effect. I mean, I think he probably knew in 97 he might have had some influence there. But just looking at his first recruiting class in 98 coming to the present, we found scholarship recruits, we found 80 that were Nebraska kids. Of those 80, I think 14 were Class B, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. I think 10 were C1, 4 were C2, and one D2 player, Steve Crewall, the fullback from North Loop, Scotia. But with the Class A, of course, as I pointed out, you being a Southeast guy, you would know that. Southeast had the most of those 80 at 11, and I think Omaha Central was second with 8. And from there it dropped down. Mm-hmm. You were looking at no more than 3 or 4 from any of the other schools. The interesting thing to me was that of the 80, 39 of those 80 were during Frank's 6 years. So the Nebraska, when you look at the recruiting classes now, there are fewer Nebraska players from Nebraska high schools coming down on scholarship than there were during that time. And if I were to take it back, I've done this before, but I don't remember. My memory's not that good, but Nebraskans were in more significant numbers during Osborne's tenure, 25 years as head coach. And I think Southeast was still one of the programs that sent a lot of players to the university on scholarship.
Mike, I want to wrap with this. As a Golden State fan, are you now more or less fearful of the Houston Rockets with Chris Paul headed there to team up with the Beard?
Well, I want to see the dynamic between James Harden and Chris Paul. I want to see how that works out. But no, I think that, you know, as I said, I think before the playoffs began, competition is you know, I think that's what makes it interesting at playoff time in the NBA. And the other thing I would say is Russell Westbrook, the MVP, if you had an opportunity right now to say, would you rather have Russell Westbrook or LeBron James on your team, which guy would you pick?
LeBron James twice, Mike. We're both like-minded in that. We're both smart. TJ shakes his head.
It's a regular season award, Mike. If it was a postseason award, I'd be fine.
Come on, man.
He's the best player in the world. But
what?
Most valuable player. That's the thing that I look at. But, you know, and I don't want to take anything away from Russell Westbrook or James Harden or Kawhi Leonard. I mean, the guys that were the finalists, I think, for the award. But to me, most valuable player, you put LeBron on any team, and I think it automatically becomes a playoff team for sure. I think he probably could have got the Knicks to the playoffs. I don't know that they would have won it. But,
wow.
I just think he's good, but that would prove it. he's a tremendous talent, but he also makes guys around him better.
Yeah, I like it.
And you know, maybe not right away, but I think he could have accomplished that. I don't think they would have got too far in the playoffs, but that's neither here nor there.
Mike Babcock.
Phil Jackson probably would have liked to have him, so there
yeah.
you go.
Yeah. No, Phil maybe not. We wouldn't have known.
Phil's on a beach now.
I think Phil spent the last year just kind of in and out of consciousness.
Yeah.
Just chilling out. Babbers, you have a great weekend and a happy 4th, and we'll catch up with you next week, okay?
Hey, great talking to you guys.
Thanks a lot. There he is, Hall of Famer Mike Babcock with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. HailVarsity.com, Wilderness Ridge Golf Segment. Mike Shewhart is on deck. And I'm trying to, is that a red or a pink? We're kind of a violet Wilderness Ridge polo. We'll ask him. Jerry DiNardo is coming up in 25 minutes. And former Husker standout Spencer Lindsay will be with us next hour. So please stay tuned for that. You can find us on Twitter at HailVarsity, at Schmidt_radio, or at TJ_Henning, the Wilderness Ridge Golf Segment. Next, Mike Shewhart. HailVarsity continues.
we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
It's a double dare, Harry. All right. It is the Wilderness Ridge Golf Segment. Mike Shewhart. Shuey is in. Membership benefits, membership pricing for you at WildernessRidgeGolf.com, 402-434-5106. And go see Mr. Chris Thompson. Go see Mr. Mike Shewhart, Director of Instruction, Husker Golf. And let me tell you about the 4th of July love Wilderness Ridge is showing you. June 30th through July 2nd, after two, $29 plus tax. That includes a cart for you and a bucket of warm-up balls if you want it. If you want to show off and intimidate, you can do it. Also, championship course, 18-hole, shotgun start, 8:30. That's the 4th. That is next Tuesday. Members and guests also open to the public. So if your brother-in-law's in town and he owes you money, go take his money. Kidding. Go take him golfing. Go have some fun. And, yes, the Tatlin course, 4th of July, available for you, too, if you want to squeeze in 9, 7-1, appropriately priced, $17.76. That's it. That includes tax and a cart. Great. Great weekend specials. Great 4th of July specials. Wilderness Ridge. And log on, WildernessRidgeGolf.com. Get your tee time. Shuey, what are you doing? You're blowing it out here. This is great.
I know. It's awesome, man. It's hard to believe it's 4th of July already. It's
yeah, you blink and your summer's gone.
It is. Crazy. 1776. How about that?
1776. Get it? No, yeah, I minored in history, my man. I got it. What do you know? What have you been up to this week?
Just working away. We got another junior camp. We started on Monday, so got about 60-plus kids.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. So been running through that.
Let's spend a minute or two on junior camp because baseball's done in the Schmidt household. We may talk to you off air, and we'll talk to you on air about junior golf, of course, but talk to you off air as well. But so if you're a mom or a dad out there and you're like, okay, son or daughter would benefit from this, they have some skill, or they can get some skill developed, how do they find out more about different opportunities for some youth tutoring?
Yeah, I mean, go our website, has some information. You just call out there. Well, anybody in the shop has information on what we have going on. So we have another junior camp at the end of July. So
yes.
One more available. I know there's spots available. So it's fun. We have a lot of fun with the kids. We take them through some just basic fundamentals of what they do. But we have a lot of fun doing it. Different contests that we set up and different little things that we have, and gives them a basic understanding of, you know, how you swing the golf club, how you hold it, things like that. So we take them through all different stations. So there's putting station, chipping station, there's a full swing station, and then we have our hippo station.
Hold on. Tell me about the hippo. Come on.
That's
now.
A secret, man. The hippo. He's got a name, too. His name's Gary.
Harry?
Gary the hippo.
Gary?
Gary.
Okay. How did...
And Gary loves to eat marshmallows.
Okay. Now you're tempting me here.
Yeah, we have these little things. They're called birdie balls.
Okay.
So they look kind of like a napkin ring.
Okay. Right?
Then they look like a napkin ring, but... And you hit them at Gary. And Gary's a big blow-up hippopotamus, and he's pink. And he's got a hole in his mouth, and his mouth is open, and you try to hit it in the hole in his mouth, man. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're feeding him marshmallows, and he loves marshmallows. So it's really fun. That's like one of our most popular stations. They can't wait to go feed Gary marshmallows.
Gary the hippo.
At the hippo station.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it's pretty fun, actually.
So Steph Curry, two-time NBA champion, is a pretty good golfer.
He's pretty good.
He is going to play at the web.com tour. Uh-huh. But is that fair to give the sponsors exemption to an NBA star player or somebody who's fighting for status?
Not even close. I mean, I have an issue with that. I understand because tournaments are out there to, they're an entertainment value of what it is, but you're taking a spot away from a guy that's trying to make a living at the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Steph Curry's making a living at a different game, you know, so you don't know, man. That guy, that spot he's taken away from, and he might win the tournament, might change his life forever and what it is that where he continues to go and where it takes him, but you're taking a spot away. So.
Yeah, I get that too, but like for me, an average golf guy, like knowing Steph Curry's playing something like that for eyeballs for me. Yeah. I think that's what they're thinking, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. They do it a lot. You know, Michael Jordan played in one. Jerry Rice has played in one. They have guys that go in there because, again, it's a draw and it brings people out to watch, and it will, no question. So it helps the tournament. So, I mean, just from a player standpoint, I have an issue with it, you know. But from a tournament standpoint, and tournaments need to keep themselves alive and bring people out. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if that's something that keeps that tournament alive, now will he do it every year? Probably not. Yeah. So.
And would you have less of a problem if he was done with basketball and retired and just did this? Or would you still have the issue?
I'd still have the issue. It's just taking a spot away from a guy that's trying to do it for a living. You know, that's his job. It's not Steph Curry's job. It's his hobby. So it's like, wait a minute, you're putting somebody doing a hobby in
kind of like a guy going and playing minor league baseball.
Exactly. It's like,
man.
So
just saying.
But I get the
he's going for his dream, man.
I get the
good part of that was the new bus he bought. All right.
I get the corporate side of it too. I mean, that's a super important part of it too. So
that's got to be a delicate balance, though.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Extremely. You know, it's like, you know, tournaments are looking for ways to generate people, eyes to be out there. That's what keeps the tournament going, you know. So it's like you got to do things that generate those kind of things. So I get that side of it. You got to have both, man. If you don't have them, you don't have a tournament.
Sure.
So
Mike Shewhart's with us, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment, Hail Varsity Radio, Quicken Loans National, Whistle Bear Congressional, and that gets rocking here the 29th. What do you know about the course? What do you know about the tournament?
Again, it's a great venue.
Yeah.
You know, it's will be a challenge for all those guys, and it's one guys get excited for, you know.
Yeah.
So it brings out some of the best and some of the best play. Just like last week, Jordan Spieth.
I was going to say, what did you think of that jumper from the sand?
How about that? Unbelievable.
That was a shoey special.
Man. I don't know if I've ever done that before. Maybe once. It was pretty cool. Just Jordan doing it at the moment, you know. Those are the things that make for good television and good competition. And it shows him who he is, man. That dude is, he's pretty amazing.
What's that setup like when you got to go through a playoff, and obviously for him to hit that shot was incredible, but is it a whole different level? I mean, you got to manage. You always talk about management.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to the playoff side of things, is it does it unravel guys more so, or is it just depend on the momentum going into it?
A little bit of that, and some of it depends on who you are. It depends on the situation you're in, you know. Like a Jordan, who's been pretty successful. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's won a whole bunch of tournaments. You know, another guy that's there trying to win a tournament for the first time. So you get two kind of different dynamics right there. You know, a guy trying to win for the first time, it is daunting, you know, and it's right there facing him. He's staring at it. He's got his chance to finally do what he spends all of his time doing. You know, Jordan, it's just, yeah, it's important. It's a win and all the things, but he's won
a lot.
A lot. So it's just a little different mentality.
Sure. Well, you can play for his house money.
Pretty much.
Other than that you're Jordan Spieth and you're supposed to win.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of his expectation and bar right now. But
he is. He was playing with house money. Yeah. It's a lot different animal.
More from Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. Shuey back with us right after this on Hail Varsity Radio.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
A quick hour. Thanks for your time. Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. Mike Shewhart is with us. Again, 4th of July beauty at Wilderness Ridge. When it comes to rates, deals, get tee times now, membership benefits, and pricing the rest of your summer. And amazing professionals. Chris Thompson, of course, Director of Instruction. To my left, Mike Shewhart. Shuey, how about, the couple of W's we need to talk about? Not wins on the course, not waving that W flag in Chicago or Kansas City, but the what and why when you're teaching kids, no matter the sport, because it's got to be understood and then executed.
Exactly. You know, I found it interesting listening to a little bit of Diaco when he was talking a little bit about some of the stuff that he was talking about and referring to. And it's like, I can relate a little bit to that because it's kind of how I teach, you know. It's like, we figure out what's going on. That's the easy part because you can see it. It's like, I topped it, I shanked it, I hit it good. So it's like, especially when we're not doing things that we want to do. So it's like, what's going on? Easy to see. Well, why? So we had to start identifying things like that. Why are those things happening? And there's a variety of reasons. It's a lot of technical. It's like, you know, the ball is doing kind of the things that it's doing because mm-hmm. of these are the technical things, which lead to some mental things also, you know. And then the biggest is then, well, how do I fix it, you know? So then the steps that it takes for you to be able to fix some of the things that, you know, you need to do to make it better. So it's a lot of my philosophy, you know. It's like, what's going on? Why is it going on? I help people understand why is it going on. And then I really help them to go, these are the things that you need to be able to do, and these are the things in the direction that we're going to be able to make it better all the time. So you can't just tell somebody to just do this.
Don't, yeah.
I mean, they have to
understand. You got to model and show and give them the evidence as to why it something. You're slicing off the box or you're missing a tackle. It doesn't matter the sport.
And this is why, you know, and these are some of the things that you're doing from a technical standpoint, which probably means some of the things you're doing from a mental standpoint. And you have to correct both of those things as you go along to make it better, you know. So it's like, and you need it because they need it because they're the ones that are doing it at that moment in time. You don't have anybody sitting out there helping you along the way. You're out there by yourself. So you got to be able to process it. You got to be able to understand it. You got to be able to do what you need to do at that particular time. And when you're not doing it right, you need to be able to self-correct pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, especially in golf, man, if you start hitting it bad, you start doing things bad. If you have some ammunition that's available to you, I call it ammunition, which is you understand what it is I'm doing. Oh, man. Yeah, when I start to do this, I have a tendency to do this. We work on doing this, or I need to feel this and do this, because that's what makes it
chain of events.
That's what
right?
makes it change. And it's like, man, you don't want to be able to fix yourself as quick as you can. There's nothing worse than staying out there in the golf course for 4 hours and not knowing what the heck you're doing. You know, it gets pretty frustrating at times. But if you can fix it, it gets like, oh wow, yeah. Bad turns to good.
Sure.
And you have a lot more fun as you continue on.
That good can be good. You go see Shuey and see his youth program that's going on at Wilderness Ridge. Again, Shuey, folks can come see you. You got a week-long teaching session this week and then towards the end of July?
And then the 25th, 6th, 7th, I can't remember off the top of my head. So
okay.
It's like the third week in July.
Sure.
So call out the Wilderness, man. They can give you all the information. It's fun. I know we got spots left for kids.
Do it. Send Junior or little lady out that way, wildernessridgegolf.com. Here's the number, 402-434-5106. Shuey, hang out if you want, bro.
I will for a bit. Thank you for having me.
Uncle Jerry's coming up. Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network, and then former Huskers Spencer Lindsay. Hour 2 next on Hail Varsity Radio.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and TJ Henning.
Welcome to Hour 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and Husker Golf, Wilderness Ridge, Mike Shuhart in studio. It's still a sweet-looking polo. I love it. Former Husker Spencer Lindsay, an amazing golf tournament to raise money for that battle against cancer and remember his brother, Spencer Lindsay, with us in 15 to 20 minutes. We welcome in the coach, Big Ten Network, Jerry DiNardo, with us on Hail Varsity. Coach, thanks for your time. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Chris.
Appreciate you spending a few minutes and wanted to talk some off-season college football. Before we get into some Nebraska topics, I just saw this get announced. Northwestern to host Notre Dame in 2018. I know that's a whole couple of seasons away, but you're a Notre Dame grad. You were an All-American at Notre Dame. You know what Northwestern's been about. What's your reaction to this non-con?
Well, it's been a good series historically. It was actually my first game I ever played for Notre Dame was in Evanston. I was a sophomore, and we played there. So it has some history to it. I also think, Chris, if I'm not mistaken, I'm in the car, so I can't tell. I can't look at the schedule. But doesn't Northwestern open with a conference game that year?
I am not in the car, and I have a dicey wireless in front of me, though. I'm just going to say maybe. go that route.
My point is, you know, Ohio State and Indiana start next season on Thursday.
Right.
I think that, you know, an offshoot of Northwestern scheduling their game is they freed up a day later in the season because they're opening up early. And I think there's a lot of really good things about Big Ten schools opening up with a Big Ten school. I think the Indiana-Ohio State game's a home run. And if I am right, and Northwestern does open up in 18 with a Big Ten team, I think that's a real plus. And it gives them a chance to schedule Notre Dame because Notre Dame's committed to 5 ACC games. And it appears that it helps them work out reviving, if you will, a little bit of a historic series. Not that it's been played a gazillion times, but they have played in the past.
No, I mean, they've been pretty big opportunities for Northwestern, as I remember it. And you're right, they do open in 18. Thanks, TJ, for the assist there against Purdue.
Right.
So, yeah. So, no, and I love the idea to either open up big with a good non-con and night game or a neutral site that's in vogue, and you got Michigan and Florida this year, or kind of do something like this early and open with a conference foe. I mean, I think that direction's pretty awesome, Coach.
Yeah, you know, and the SEC started this years ago, and what the SEC was trying to do is build a marquee opener. Now, Nick always wants to open up Atlanta against a really good team, which I think is a great strategy for him, but also you know, big games early in the SEC when maybe non-conference games and other conferences aren't very good non-conference games, and they get the rest of the country watching them. Mm-hmm. You know, unless you're a fan of a particular school playing, say, a directional school, you might, even if you're a Big Ten fan, watch a big SEC game instead of another Big Ten team, not your Big Ten team, but another Big Ten team play maybe a MAC school or whatever.
No, it's just brilliant strategy, like you touched on, to get eyeballs towards you, and the SEC started doing that, and you know, you got to kind of follow suit. One way to get eyeballs on you is to get word of mouth going, and Nebraska's standing in college football is unique, and the reputation and the brand is strong, and it's getting kind of recycled, but it's word of mouth that's doing it. Coach, I want to talk a little bit about what Coach Riley has done on Friday Night Lights the last couple of Fridays, not just with the amount of kids, 230 last week, but you had, God, I mean, the count of 4 and 5 stars that were here. Just because they heard that Lincoln's the place to be, you got to come check Nebraska out. That's the word with some of these high-profile kids for 2018 and 2019. Spend a minute or two, if you could, your reaction on what Riley and the Nebraska staff have done here, not just to bring in kids like this, to line up visits and likely return visits, but just to create kind of a happening type feel and mindset during the summer.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, this is what's been missing from Nebraska, right? And I think this was one of the big questions that we all had about Mike Riley. You know, this doesn't play well at Oregon State, right? This doesn't work at Oregon State. And so this works in Nebraska. So he has made the adjustment. He hasn't just come here. He hasn't come to Lincoln and just said, okay, let's do the same thing we did at Oregon State. He obviously knows it's a different product. When you sell a different product, you have to sell it in a different way. And now, as we've talked a bunch of times, the new rule is going to help him even more. But this isn't related to the new rule. This is just related to Mike being really smart, being really creative, and getting Nebraska in the conversation. You know, the conversation about Nebraska in recent years has been, you know, are they still relative to college football? I think this is an announcement of sorts, what Mike has done since he's been there. Even though Bo had success, it wasn't national championship success. Mm-hmm. What Mike's doing with this recruiting, gives Nebraska a chance to get back in the national picture, because most people are going to talk about recruiting before they talk about somebody winning the national championship.
Right, and you got to recruit to win the title. I mean, you just got to do it. So, no, and that, I like what you said there. This is kind of an announcement about Nebraska. Coach Jerry DiNardo with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Big Ten Network. Howard's son was on hand, your partner on the Big Ten Network, and he's an IMG kid. Nebraska's focusing a lot on the IMGs and some of the other higher profile programs to get kids that are at a higher talent level to come in and contribute. One of those kids that's kind of started things off, you go back 2-3 years with unofficial visits, was Keyshawn Johnson Jr. and senior, making trips with the 7-on-7 team to Lincoln to check things out because of the Mike Riley Keyshawn dynamic. Keyshawn, since we've talked to you, Coach, you've read and seen that he is back home, kind of a leave of absence, a chance to mature. I haven't talked to you since that's happened. What's your reaction to what Coach Riley, the parents, Keyshawn's junior's folks, and the administration with Nebraska did, and how they responded to some things that weren't going so well?
Well, you know, I don't know a lot of the details, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've read very little about it, and you probably gave me more information in your question than I've had. I just think this. I think anytime Mike Riley is involved with my child or any other child, he's making good decisions based on what's best for them. I think the same thing could be said for Sean Eichhorst. I don't know Keyshawn, mm-hmm. but my guess is whatever brought him to this decision, it was – because that was what was best for Keyshawn Jr., maybe not best for Nebraska in the short term, mm-hmm. but I don't think you make decisions like that. So without any details, I know that if my son was in Mike Riley's camp and Mike Riley recommended something to me, I'd be hard-pressed not to agree, and I'm guessing that's what happened.
Coach, is it difficult to take a high-profile kid or a kid that's been hyped up in the recruiting world from your experience as head coach and discipline them?
Well, of course it is. It's very difficult. And, you know, sometimes it costs you and sometimes it helps you. You know, Mike Riley could be, you know, Keyshawn, and again, I don't know the details, but mm-hmm. let's say Keyshawn comes back. I don't know what his status is. And he has a great career. That's a great story to tell. That could help you in recruiting in 2 or 3 years. Not that Mike's doing it because it's going to help him in recruiting. Right. But all good stories don't start as good stories, right? And so is it difficult? It's gut-wrenching, especially, you know, some of the homes that we go in. And if it's one of the few opportunities a young person would have. Now, Keyshawn Jr. is probably in a little different home setting, mm-hmm. but it's even heartbreaking when perhaps you're the only chance that that prospect has. But, you know, it's a team, and it's not an individual game, and you've got to make some tough decisions.
Couple more minutes. Jerry DiNardo with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, there's been a lot of listings and rankings out of, you know, coaches across the country, a rundown, a top 50 list, a top who's best in the Big Ten. I'm not going to ask you to give me a list, but I do want to give you some coaches, kind of rapid fire this. And when I mention a coach, what is kind of their greatest strength? What first thing that pops into your head about a coach and his program? And we'll start with Coach D'Antonio at Michigan State.
Consistency, high character, great relationships with the players.
All right, Harbaugh at Michigan.
He has excited the fan base. He's an open book. You always know what he's thinking. You may not agree. If he's your crazy, you love him. If he's not your crazy, maybe you don't like him so much.
Pat Fitzgerald.
I think what Northwestern's all about, academically, athletically, socially, he's the face of the program, and I think he's a very good face of the program.
How about Urban?
Intense. Every day is a challenge. Great motivation. Complete package. Mm-hmm. Complete package. Motivating, recruiting, X's and O's, the whole deal.
Coach Franklin at Penn State.
Doesn't get enough credit for his knowledge of the game, has a reputation as a recruiter, which he's a very good recruiter. But he does know X's and O's. He made some great hires. You have to look at him as done one of the great coaching jobs in recent years in college football.
All right. How about Durkin at Maryland?
X and O, Jimmy and Joe, he gets it both. He gets the recruiting, he gets the X's and O's, great enthusiasm.
How about Ferentz?
Very consistent, great relationships with the family. You'd sleep very well at night if your son or daughter was in his charge.
How about Paul Christ at Wisconsin?
Salt of the earth. Tremendous strategist. No ego. I think representative of what college football was when it started a couple hundred years ago.
And lastly, Mike Riley.
Terrific person. Knows more football. Or has forgotten more football than most of us know, and I'm so excited he's made what I think are some really great adjustments, and we've already talked about one. Mm-hmm. He's changed, and you have to change when you go Oregon State to Nebraska, and he's done that.
Lastly, Coach Jared Notto with us, Hill Varsity Radio. Bob Elliott, Coach Elliott, has had to move to an advisory role, so he was hired as safeties coach. Now he's an advisor. Coach Booker, that was part of Notre Dame staff with Diaco and Elliott there, I think 2010 to 2016. So Nebraska is in transition again at the safety spot. That's 8 secondary coaches in 8 years. Is this another issue for Nebraska to overcome with this 3-4 transition, or is it because you still got Bob there, you still have Coach Diaco there, and you still have a Notre Dame guy in Coach Booker? Could it be less of an issue?
Yeah, I don't think it's a major issue. I think you accurately described why it's not a major issue, because of all the people that are involved. Do you wish you weren't going through it? Of course. But things like this happen more often than we know inside the staff room that we don't really know a lot about. This is certainly not a major setback. It's just something that they'll deal with. And my guess is because of all the people you mentioned in the situation, they'll deal with it very nicely.
Jared DiNardo with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, have a great weekend. Have a happy 4th of July. We'll catch up soon, and thanks for giving us a few minutes today.
Thanks, Chris. Enjoyed it.
Take care. There he is, Jared DiNardo, Big Ten Network, at Jared DiNardo on Twitter. And good stuff from the coach. About a month away, you'll be watching him on TV on the Big Ten Network for Big Ten Media Days. So that's exciting. That's impressive. Kind of like the pure-grown diamonds at Sauter Haman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, Sauter Haman. They're eco-friendly. They're 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. And if you're just catching up, pure-grown diamonds are grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. And they have all the beautiful characteristics of earth-mined diamonds. And many customers at Sauter Haman love them. And they are one of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Haman history. So do yourself a favor this weekend. If you have a birthday or anniversary around the corner, or it's just time to get mama something new and pretty, go see Rick at Sauter Haman today, 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion in Lincoln Rod West, your friends in Grand Island, SauterHaman.com, the exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds here in Nebraska is Sauter Haman. What caller are we going to do, TJ?
Let's do 4.
Number 4, little Alex Gordon love. Okay, caller 4. For some Salt Dog tickets, VIP seats, 4 of them for you tomorrow. Caller 4, right now, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Caller 4 now, VIP tickets tomorrow night to Haymarket. Go see them Salt Dogs. They are going to make your breath stop and start, and likely a walk-off win. I'm not guaranteeing it. I'm just saying that's what's bound to happen. Caller 4 right now, those 4 seats together, a VIP set for you, family 4-pack for you. Caller 4 now at 466-3776 or 1-800-825-5865. A tremendous golf tournament coming up this Saturday to help raise awareness and benefit the Lindsay family, former Husker. He'll always be a Husker, but standout Spencer Lindsay, kicker, senior, 2016 class. A chance for you to spend time with him, his family, donate, fight cancer. Spencer Lindsay next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and we welcome in standout Husker kicker Spencer Lindsay joining us. And July 1st, the third annual Matt Lindsay Memorial Golf Tournament. Spencer, thanks for a few minutes. Appreciate your time, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for taking time, and excited to tell folks about the golf tournament on Saturday. And it is a benefit. It is a chance to raise funds, provide awareness to the Target Cancer Foundation and the Matt Lindsay Memorial Golf Tournament. Spencer, tell folks a little bit about your brother, his story, and your relationship. I've done my research on it, but you could do a much more eloquent job than me about just the love you have for your brother and the memories and meaning behind this tournament.
Yeah, so my older brother Matt passed away 3 years ago at the age of 28 from a bile duct cancer, which is one of the rarest forms of cancer in the world. It's actually the cancer that Walter Payton had. Because it is so rare, research that is done on it is very, very little. The Target Cancer Foundation out in Cambridge, Massachusetts, who we donate the money to, is actually one of the only research institutions that does research on bile duct cancer. And so kind of through the anger and the frustration and the loss that comes with losing a family member, like me and my parents have gone through along with my sister, we decided to try and do something that positive with that anger, because anger is kind of energy in its own way, and we want to do something positive with that, that maybe there'd be a family down the line that wouldn't have to go through the same thing that we went through. And so that's been kind of the line of reasoning with that. My older brother Matt was much of my inspiration for a lot of what I did playing with Nebraska and moving forward with my academics and stuff like that. He was an incredible guy. Not enough to explain on a 10-minute radio segment, but we're very, very excited for this year's tournament. We already have 23 teams signed up right now, which is a record for us. And so we're really looking forward to Saturday. It'll be the first time we have it in Kearney. The first 2 years we had it at Firethorn in Lincoln, and then last year at Wilderness Ridge. And so this will be the first year out in Kearney at Owari Dunes, which is a course built about 7-8 years ago. So it's a new course. It's a great course. It kind of has a Lynx style. So we're excited about that. So we're looking forward to Saturday. And it's also kind of a special event for me personally and a lot of guys on the team, because some people might know that last year's golf tournament was the last place that a lot of us saw Sam Foltz, because him and Drew Brown drove up to Wisconsin the night after last year's golf tournament. We had the tournament a little bit later in July last year. So last year's tournament was the last time a lot of us saw Sam. And so the event is very, very dear to me in that respect, and a lot of other Husker players who will be out there on Saturday.
Well, a chance to raise awareness and funds and donate to research dollars, the Matt Lindsay Memorial Golf Tournament. And Spencer Lindsay joining us, proud brother of Matt, and your roommate, Sam. We all have such fond memories of Sam. And what are you expecting on Saturday? Spencer, how are you going to be able to deal with the fond memories you had for both people that are so dear to you, but also the fact that, you know, it was the last time you saw him a year ago?
Yeah, it'll be tough. Obviously, it brings a multitude of emotions. But what I try and do, and I think the best thing to do, is try and focus on the positive. Mm-hmm. I think we should be looking to forward to raise a record amount of money. The first year, we were able to raise a little over 20,000. And last year, we were just above, I think, 7,000. So I think we can... at least personally, I can focus on the fact that, you know, if we do get 23 teams or maybe a few more, and certainly if there's any listeners out there who want to sign up Saturday, they can contact me on my Twitter, which is S_Lindsay, or they can contact me on my phone, which is 308-293-3663, if they'd like to play or donate Saturday. So I think that's the key, is to focus on the positives. It'll be great to see a lot of my former teammates who I don't get to see so much anymore. I know Josh Banderas and Tyler Hoppus will be on a team. I know Luke McNitt and Tanner Lee and Connor Young will be on a team, so it'll be great to see those guys. And Drew Brown will be on my team. The past years, we've always had a foursome of Drew Brown, myself, Grant Schumacher, who is a former kicker for a couple of years, and Sam. Mm. And so this year we'll just have a threesome, and we'll leave that fourth spot empty for those reasons. So yeah, it'll be an emotional day, but we'll try and focus on the positives of the money being raised and the amount of support that the Kearney community has shown us by the amount of donations and people that have signed up, and also by the amount of my teammates that'll be there, which is really special for us, because I know the Fultzes will be there, Gerald and Jill and Betsy and Jordan will all be there, and so that'll just be a great thing to kind of get everyone back together, because it's going to be kind of be tough after some guys are still on the team, some guys are pursuing their NFL dreams or other things, and it can be hard to get together. So anytime we can reconvene and get together is always a good thing.
Spencer Lindsay's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio, and the golf tournament, Awari Dunes, is where it's at. Mad Lindsay Memorial Golf Tournament, and check-ins at 11, shotgun start at noon, burgers and awards at 5. It is this Saturday, and S_Lindsay on Twitter. And Spencer, yep. I'll have you give you your number out again here in a couple of minutes for folks who want to sign up. Focus on the positive. Remember the great times with Matt, Lindsay, and also with Sam, and also the fact that this donation is so important to help fight and battle cancer, specifically the rare cancer that your brother Matt had, and Target Cancer Foundation is where it's going. So I need to ask you, when it comes to golf, and you got a bunch of your former teammates there, from a who gives you amusement watching them try to golf, because it's not easy.
Right. Well, in the past we've had some decent players. Brandon Riley will not be playing this year, but he was one of the more talented guys on the team. Drew Brown is also pretty good, as is Grant Schumacher. But I've heard that Josh Banderas is pretty rough, so that might be the show to watch. I've also heard that Tyler Office is pretty rough off the tees too. So if there would be a group to watch on the cam, it might be the Southwest team with former Husker Josh Banderas and current Husker Tyler Hoppus. And then I know Luke McNitt is pretty solid. Okay. I've heard Tanner Lee is not too bad. So I'll be interested to see those guys' scorecard as well. Of course, Luke has got such big arms, I'm surprised he has any feeling in a golf swing whatsoever.
Well, the flexibility part is, you got to follow through, and he may just, he might just go Bo Jackson and snap a club.
Right. Yeah. Or just, or crush a golf ball. One of the two.
Right.
So that'll be the show. I've heard Tanner's okay. I've never seen him play. He's a pretty athletic guy. Obviously he's been getting a lot of praise lately from different sources, how he did at the Manning Passing Academy. So, I'll be interested to see how his golf game compares to how he can throw a football.
Spencer, I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts? Let's talk football for a second here, 2017. What are your thoughts on some of the guys returning, a smaller senior class? But, it's year three for Coach Riley, and you got Tanner there at quarterback, and you got a new defense. I mean, you still love Nebraska. You still follow him. What do you think next year looks like?
Yeah, I'll be anxious to follow him. I'll be over in Germany for most of the season, so I'll probably be having to stay up in the middle of the night to watch the games on my computer. But I'm okay with that. I think things look good. I think the Oregon game will be a real test. I think if they can get past that and get some momentum going, things should go okay. I think it's huge that we get to play Wisconsin and Iowa both at home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, really big for winning the West, because I think the goal for every team, that certainly was for us, was to win the West and get to Indianapolis. And I think that it's a very, very doable thing for them to be able to beat both those teams at home, considering I think that we have a better quarterback than both those teams coming in with Tanner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, it's kind of a question mark what happens with the defense under Diaco. But, we got a lot of returners at DB and Chris Jones and Josh Kalou. And I'm kind of hoping that those guys can kind of lead the way. But I think there's going to be some breakout stars on defense too, specifically the Davis twins.
Yeah.
I think another year of maturity under the strength program. I mean, those kids are freak athletes. I think they're maybe some of the most athletic kids I've seen while I was on the team. And, combine that with Mick Stoltenberg, who, might be the most talented guy on the team altogether. I think the defense could really make some improvements, and I think on the offensive side, having Tanner should be a good show. I think Tanner throws the best ball of anybody I've seen since I've been on the team, comparable to Riker in terms of his throwing ability. So I'm excited, and I think the key is to get a win at Oregon and then take care of business in the other games, and then obviously the must-win games and the big game division games are Wisconsin at Iowa at home, which is huge.
Spencer Lindsey's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. The Matt Lindsey Memorial Golf Tournament is this Saturday out of the Waurey Dunes in Kearney/Axtell, and then the proceeds go to the Target Cancer Foundation. And remember Matt, celebrate his life and raise funds to battle that rare form of cancer that he passed from. Now, Spencer, real quick, you are studying abroad. I literally have like 30 seconds. Tell me what you're doing here in 30 seconds abroad.
Yeah, so I'm going to Berlin to study European Union immigration policies for 5.5 months. And then I'll come back in December and keep applying to law school and hope to pick out a law school and start in next fall.
And folks can get a hold of you, how, for this tournament this Saturday?
Yeah, they can call me at 308-293-3663, and they can also hit me up on Twitter at @S_Lindsey to sign up or donate.
Spencer, let's do this again. God bless you and your family, and thanks for your time and thinking of us, and let us know what we can do in the future.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Take care. Spencer Lindsey with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Appreciate his time in the 3rd Annual Matt Lindsey Memorial Golf Tournament. July 1st, let's raise money for the fight against bile duct cancer. Research dollars needed. Waurey Dunes, the location. Get registered at 11 o'clock for Saturday and raise some money. Just do that and give back. Spencer Lindsey, thanks to him for giving us a few minutes on Hail Varsity. A Jock Talk Wednesday up next.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back at it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday. Lincoln Orthopedic Center, Dr. Brandon Seifert with us. Dr. Brandon, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Chris. How are you?
Doing all right. Our baseball season is done for Junior and company, so a little downtime before football cranks up. Unfortunately, it sounds like one of the better stories in Major League Baseball, his season is done as well. Or at least the immediate future is Julio Urias for the Dodgers. Dr. Brandon, you're a huge Dodgers guy, my man, and let's spend a few minutes on Julio and give his backstory before we get into the injury.
Yeah, just terrific. Yeah, if you guys get a chance to read up on him, I think it's just a fabulous story. I think a lot of these Latin American players and their story is just amazing, coming from nothing and making to that level. Urias, kind of same story, a kid from Mexico that grew up in the middle of nowhere, obviously dirt poor, gets picked up at some point and by teams and eventually kind of really progresses very quickly among the ranks and was one of the I think youngest players to pitch actually in the major leagues for the Dodgers. But just a great story. Get a chance to read about it. I really do sell. It's one of those really inspiring sports stories about overcoming odds. At any rate, so you know, he's been struggling a little bit this year. They've been trying to do the kind of managed pitch count thing for him, which the Nationals have tried to do as well for some of their young guys, just trying to be careful with what he's doing and his volume of pitches. Unfortunately, he's kind of run into some trouble with his shoulder. I think maybe a little bit of trouble last year as well, and it's just been lingering. But at any rate, past some therapy and some things, they decided to go in and do surgery for him, and so unfortunately that means most likely going to miss the rest of his season.
You know, you look at the Dodgers and how good they're performing this season offensively, defensively, and then, of course, you know, Kershaw's Kershaw, but Urias is one of those young phenoms that really has been a guy they counted on in the rotation. And in 12 months is the word we have here on his surgery, his recovery. What are we dealing with here with Julio Urias? And what are they looking at? What are they doing to clean him up? What type of injury are we talking about here with his shoulder?
Yeah, so as you're kind of reading through these reports, talking about some capsular issues. So when you think about the shoulder joint, all of our joints in particular have a tissue that surrounds them that separates them from the rest of the body. It's called the capsule. So on the shoulder, on the front side of the shoulder, we call it the inter aspect of the shoulder. There's a capsule that kind of holds the ball portion in place. We start talking more about the capsule when you start talking about athletes that have instability of their shoulder, meaning the ball portion of the shoulder kind of slides a little more forward than it should. As you read through some of the reports here on him, it sounds like that's what their focus is upon the capsule. So I'm assuming he must either have either some laxity or looseness there that's creating an issue, and so they talked about doing some capsular repair type work for him. And so that's what's on the docket for him. He's going to have that done by one of the docs out there at Curl and Job that does operate on a lot of these high-level players. As somebody who does a lot of work on pitchers and some high-level ones, you get worried about any time we're talking about shoulder surgery in a pitcher or throwing athlete. When you look at the data on these things, it's not great. Kind of across the board, especially you know, with somebody like Dr. Andrews, who does a ton of Major League mm-hmm. Baseball surgery. The return to play rates on these is pretty low after shoulder surgery, and so again, we tend to be super conservative when treating them. We tend to do a lot of rehab and kind of last resort to think about doing some surgery. So obviously, here they must have seen something on the MRI, kind of exhausted a lot of the other measures, and probably are kind of at the last resort here in terms of what they're planning on doing.
So you have this anterior capsule issue that's torn. You have surgery. You have approximately 12 to 14 months of rehab. It puts career questions out there because if he even comes back, what's his stuff going to be like, you know, from a business standpoint? That sounds really cold. But is this a common injury? I mean, because it sounds like L.A. with the pitch count did everything they could to keep him out of harm's way. At least they tried to, right?
Sure, absolutely. It sure sounds like it. I mean, obviously, I don't know the nuts and bolts of their exact schedule, but it sure sounds like all the press and things they put out there, they're trying to do a nice job with it. And I think the evidence of that is out there. I mean, this wasn't a guy they were, throwing a ton in their starting rotation. In fact, they had to pull him out of some starts just to give him some extra rest. And so I think they did a nice job with that, at least from what I could see from my vantage point. But, from a, commonality in terms of an injury, capsular injuries and issues are definitely a big thing with our pitchers and our high-level, overhead athletes. What you have to think about here anatomically is these athletes are great because their shoulder is actually, more loose, if you will, than the rest of society. In order to generate that kind of velocity, in order to create that crazy spin they can put on the ball, you really have to be able to generate a lot of velocity, and you have to be able to kind of put your arm in an awkward position. So you really do have to have more, flexibility, more kind of generalized laxity to your shoulder. That's what makes you great. So as a high-level pitcher, these guys always are kind of walking that fine line of being loose enough, but not mm-hmm. quite, too loose. And so that's always the big battle here. And so as a surgeon, what do we worry about anytime you mess with a capsule? Well, if you do that, or even just a shoulder surgery in general, it tends to tighten up the shoulder due to some scar tissue. Well, now you've changed that athlete if they can't kind of regenerate some of that looseness they had before. And I think that's where these athletes run into trouble when they do have surgeries. You change them. in terms of, you know, kind of how fluidly loose that shoulder is. And so that's the thing you have to watch out for, especially if you start talking about doing surgery on the capsule itself. That's very dicey. And so obviously there must be something pinpoint that they see here and that they think they can go after. But that would be the thing I worry about with him, is that can result in some significant velocity drop. You know, that could definitely take away some of those amazing electric pitches that he has. And so that's going to be the big issue, is he's going to have an amazingly technical rehab to kind of get him back where he needs to be. And honestly, after something like that, it's probably something you should park him and plan to bring him back in about a year.
Dr. Brandon Seifer with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday. Dr. Brandon, a thought here on his recovery and why it is so long. Why is it 12 to 14 months?
You know, there's so many things that go into this. You know, when you get to that level of throwing, after a big surgery and dealing with the scar tissue, getting the strength back, and then trying to go through kind of all those kind of re-coordination steps of things we like to call neuromuscular retraining, it takes a long time to get that back and to have that technical skill. And the thing you don't want to do is you don't want to rush these folks back, miss out on some of that technical skill development, and then they start kind of, you know, overthrowing, if you will, or kind of start overpowering some of their pitches. Then they lose some of that. They lose some of that technique. And then once you start really putting a lot of extra force or stress on that, you know, capsule repair or just the shoulder in general, other things show up, you know, elbow problems, tendonitis issues. And so really to kind of get a lot of that fluidity back within your shoulder, I mean, it's probably a year process to let that thing heal and to truly get through all the appropriate steps you have to get through in that rehab process to get back into that truly fluid, natural throwing mechanism that made you great to begin with.
Dr. Brandon Seifer, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday. We're talking about Julio Urias, talented pitcher for the Dodgers, and his prospects not only from recovery, but what's going on and the why of the injury. Dr. Brandon, we'll catch up again. Great stuff.
You bet. Hey, thanks, Chris. You guys take care.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time to say goodbye to you on Wednesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, a Jock Doc Wednesday there. Thanks to Spencer Lindsay. And again, go to his Twitter and find out information. Listen, it's going to be a gorgeous weekend and a chance for you to fight cancer and raise money for cancer research. A bunch of former and current ex-Huskers out and about in western to central Nebraska. It is an important tournament for the Lindsay family, the Matt Lindsay Memorial Golf Tournament, the third year it's going on. So please do that. I'm asking you to go golf and enjoy fellowship and friends and donate money. Again, Spencer's Twitter. It's at S, capital S, underscore Lindsay. Thanks to Spencer for sharing his thoughts. Jerry DiNardo got us kicked off in hour one. Coach's thoughts on some of the Big Ten coaches and what Nebraska's done to differentiate themselves. Mike Babcock in hour one, and our dear friend Mike Shuhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. Shuey was with us. Tomorrow on the program, help me out here, Tej. It's pretty busy Thursday as well.
We got Greg Smith.
Greg Smith is recruiting. It's fantastic.
Steve Calhoun,
armed and dangerous quarterback. He's coming back, and he's back from the Manning Passing Academy. So his thoughts on Tanner Lee and Patrick O'Brien. And 425 tomorrow.
And we have stud freshman Nana Ackerton's head coach, Robert Brost.
Okay, so the hoops. A lot of hoops.
Mm-hmm.
And we're efforting Tanner Lee.
Mm-hmm.
We're efforting Tanner Lee.
And the latest walk-on commit today.
Yes.
Bart.
Big Bart. He's not real that big. He's 6'4", 210, but he's taller than me. Yes or no on Chris Paul to Houston. Will it work? Will
no.
it work?
I don't like it, man.
What they did is they gave Harden the keys, and it worked well, and he was unselfish.
Right? He was a souped-up Steve Nash.
Yeah, and can you ask Paul to be a shooting guard? He couldn't stand that. when he's not handling the ball.
Yeah, so basically it went like this. Ever since Doc Rivers got his son Austin to join the team, the relationship between him and Chris Paul has gone downhill because apparently Doc is not treating his son like everybody else on the team. So Chris Paul took offense to that, so their relationship has deteriorated over time. Chris Paul's like, hey, I'm going to opt out and go be a free agent, or I'll be nice to you guys, in his meeting with Lawrence Frank and Doc Rivers, saying I'll opt in and you guys trade me and we'll get value. And they actually will get a lot of good guys. Sam Decker, Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams, a pick, plus other guys they can get rid of and make cap space. So they got way better than what the Chicago Bulls got for Jimmy Butler. So not a bad deal. You just saw Mike D'Antoni had a quote saying you can never have too many point guards on the court, which I kind of love to hear. But then you think about it, how it worked out for the Phoenix Suns with Gordon.
Both point guards want to need to pass.
Yeah, and it didn't work out when Phoenix had three point guards on the squad until 2 years ago. So, yeah, both those guys are ball dominant. I just don't see how it's going to work right now. Apparently, Harden said a couple years ago he wants to get back to the way he played in OKC with a little off-the-ball action, which I get, but I also remember him quotes this year saying how much he loved handling the rock and
read doing things. Time magazine like, feature on James Harden and how all grown up he's got.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow at 4, find us on Hail Varsity. If you missed today's show and we ask you to check it out specifically, just how awesome Spencer Lindsay and his family are. Podcast available, ESPN Lincoln app. Download it. It's free if you have it. You know where the podcast section is. The iTunes portion, Hail Varsity, or just go to hailvarsity.com. DJ Henning rocks. I'm Chris Schmidt. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4. Thank you.